All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Ayin Zayin 77. We are picking up on Ayin Vav Amud Beis 76 Beis. That is 2, 4, 6 lines up from the bottom. Igida Amri Amru Ulu Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Or Mitztaref Labasar. So if you remember, again, we were speaking specifically about the case where if there is a bone broken within the limb of the animal, but ultimately, again, but the limb is covered by the majority of basar, that ultimately, again, the animal does not become a trefa. So we were discussing, is it, what was it hekefa, was it sidivio? So, okay, we went through all the details. Rabbi Yochanan says as follows, R, which means skin, which I will say for in an animal specifically refers to the hide, is mitztaref, combines ultimately again with basar, with the flesh. So that halacha lemaisa, in terms of having an entire limb covered, if part of it is just hide and part of it is just skin, that it could all combine together. Amalei Rav Nachman le'ula v'leimamar ar mashlim lebasar l'chumra. Why don't you instead say that what? That the R is mashlim. We'll say, if you take a look at Rashi, second line from the bottom, or mashlim lebasar, diliboy rova kisoy bebasar. So ultimately, again, say R is mashlim. We'll say R is mashlim means the majority of the covering of the bone must be flesh. But if some of that majority is made up by a minority of hide, that by itself would be okay as well. Amarle, ana uvda yedana. To which Rabbi Yochanan responds, to which Ula responds, because I know of a particular episode. Dahu bar gozla, dahava beirad Yitzchak, because there was a particular, we'll say bar gozla is a pigeon, right? The turtle dove. There was a bird that came before Rabbi Yitzchak, the armistarif lebasar haba. And it was a case where a bone was broken, but the hide and the flesh combined together to form a majority covering along the bone. And it came up for Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan ultimately claimed, or I should say, declared that it was kosher. Amarle. So we'll say, what do you see from there? That's a case of the R and the basar being mitztaref. The flesh, the one called the flesh, and the hide together, ultimately combining to form a majority covering around the bone. To which the Gemara says, Amalei bar gozla kamrit, you're bringing a raya from a bird. Bar gozla dirachich shayna. A bird is different, ultimately, again, because even its hide is exceptionally soft, and therefore has the status of basar, has the status of flesh. The Gemara goes weiter. Hano gidin rachim, asla kamei dirabam. The Rabbi said there was this case of Rashi says gidin rakin dahavu mitztarfi lebasar vechofin rov etzma basar. So we'll say, so this again was a case of a broken bone, and again the bone protruded through the flesh. So we're talking now about a case of is the majority of the bone, the majority of the limb covered by flesh. So in this case over here, there was flesh and there was this gidin rakin. Gidin rakin means soft sinews. So soft sinews were covering the majority of the limb. So the Gemara says, So the Shaila is, does this count as a majority covering over the bone? So Rabbi says, number one is, what do we have to be concerned about? So you want to know, do the sinews count as flesh? So what do you have to be concerned about? Maybe the fact that these sinews will ultimately turn hard, maybe tells you that what? They can't be counted as flesh. Well, number one, Rabbi Yochanan says, Ravosai, that interesting enough, by Karban Pesach, even sinews that ultimately, again, will ultimately harden, can be counted towards Karban Pesach consumption. In other words, Ravosai, in order to be part of a Chabura for Karban Pesach, what has to happen? Everyone has to have a Kizayis. What happens if my Kizayis is made up of sinews? Sinews that are currently soft, but over time will eventually harden. Rabbi Yochanan paskins that halacha lemaisa, that counts as meat. So if that counts as meat by Karban Pesach, it certainly can count as meat for what? For the purpose of covering the bone. Va'od ha'torah chasa al mamonu shel Yisrael. Furthermore, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has compassion upon the money of Klal Yisrael, and whenever possible to avoid declaring an animal a trefa, we certainly prefer to do so. To which the Gemara says, "Omni Rab Papa Rabba, what are you talking about? Reb Shimon Lakish, the Isura Daraisa." First of all, Reish Lakish argues on Rabbi Yochanan, and he holds that Gidin Shesofan Lahakshos, that if you have sinews which will ultimately harden, what's the halacha abosai? Those are not treated as flesh. Those are not treated as meat, and therefore halacha lemeis again cannot be, they cannot count as someone's carbon pesach portion. Furthermore, the isura da oraisa, right? Furthermore, again, there's another issue. What's the other issue, Rabosai? You're dealing with the potential isura da oraisa of treifa. So what are you talking about? Va'at amrit my lechushle. So we'll say when you're dealing with a potential isura da oraisa, and you're going to bring up stuff like chasa Torah al mamon shel Yisrael, that we don't want people to suffer a loss. I will say, unfortunately, when dealing with an isura da oraisa, people suffer financial losses all of the time. So what are you talking about? Si ishtik, he was silent. So it says the Gemara, v'amai ishtik, why was he silent? V'ha'amar Rava, hilchasa kava, say Reb Shimon Lakish, bahani tlas. Yet I will say, Rava said that the halacha only follows Reish Lakish in these three cases. Then I will say, Rashi points out the particular three cases, which we're not going to get into now, but for our purposes, you know what's not one of the three cases? Is Gidin Shesofan Lahakshos. Right? I will say that the halacha does not seem to follow Reish Lakish in the case, ultimately, again, of the Gidin, which will ultimately harden. That in that case of Gidin, which will ultimately harden, we don't pass like Reish Lakish, we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, namely, that they're counted as meat. If they're counted as meat, that in the case of the broken bone, and you have the sinews which are covering the bone, that should be enough ultimately to what? To count as a proper covering of the bone, to avoid a treifa situation. Furthermore, to which the Gemara says, Shani Yacha, this case is different over here. Why? The Hadr Bei Rabbi Yochanan Lagabe, the Reb Shimon Lakish. Because we'll say, interestingly enough, apparently, even though, again, we don't have on record as the halacha following Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan himself changed his position, recanted, and ultimately paskined like Reish Lakish. But I'll say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Shiny hacha da hada be Rabbi Yochanan megidin harakin. That apparently Rabbi Yochanan changed his stance on soft sinews. Va'amar kol midi disofan lahakshos basar sof azlinon. And he said that what? Anything that ultimately will harden over time, what's the halacha? Ultimately, again, is not considered to be like basar. Azlinan, basar sof azlinan. We go after what it ultimately will become. Therefore, again, Abu say, halacha lemaisa, that means that Rabbi Yochanan at the end of the day held that for Karban Pesach purposes, the soft sinews are not sufficient for your Karban Pesach portion. That's number one. And therefore, by extension, in a case of a bone that broke through the flesh, if the majority of it is covered with soft sinews, which will ultimately harden, apparently that is not enough to call the bone or to call the limb covered by a majority of flesh, and therefore would potentially become a treva. The Amar Lei, because the Vosei Hadim Rabbi Yochanan changed his position, because he said, Al takniteini beloshon yachid ani shone osa. Because the Vosei, again, ultimately, Rabbi Yochanan says to Reish Lakish in a subsequent discussion, which we will see, that when Rabbi Yochanan ultimately quotes this idea that the sinews are treated like basar, he says, don't start up with me. I am not teaching a consensus opinion, but rather I'm only teaching a das yachid, indicating that even Rabbi Yochanan himself changed teams on this and felt that halacha lemaisa, soft sinews, which ultimately will harden, do not have the status of flesh, of basar, but rather again have the status of something else that's not basar, and I'll say therefore all the ramifications of that. It can't be counted as a kezayis of meat for Karban Pesach, potentially in this case doesn't count as a covering to save the animal from treifa as well. Beautiful. Hu nishpara etzem biyata luchutz. Let's listen to this next case. Hu nishpara ha'etzem biyata luchutz. We'll say now we have a case of the bone broke and protruded through the limb. Vishtakel kortisa minin. Now we'll say now in this case over here, the bone chipped. So we'll say, so what happens? If you look at Rashi, vishtakel kortisa, lashon korat. Kar Tapasei literally means like a kernel or a granule, a piece. Kilomar ma'at mina etzem ne'achav v'nafal ha'aretz. It's part of the bone, so the bone chips. So what happens? So asala kamei da'abaye. So ultimately, again, they brought the shayla before Abaye. So what they're asking is, what's the status? That means up until now, we've been speaking about bone breakages the whole time, but apparently the bone broke, but yet the entire bone, quote-unquote, was there. In this case, a piece of the bone falls off. Does that impact the animal one way or the other? So they brought the shayla before Abaye. Shaye tlasa rigli. So we'll say, amazingly enough, Abaye waited 3 regalim. Now, what that means is, why 3 regalim? So remember, again, every regal, Tamidi Chachamim would go ahead and gather. They would have what's called the Kala, right? The Archei Kala. They would come together, and ultimately, again, they would learn. Shai Tlasa Rigli. Amrli Rav Adda Bar Masna. Ultimately, again, Rav Adda Bar Masna. So, because apparently Abaye didn't want to answer it himself. So ultimately, again, he gathered the Tamidi Chachamim. So Amrli Rav Adda Bar Masna. Zilkame de Rav Breid Rav Yosef Bar Chama. Go before Rava, the son of Rav Yosef, the son of Chama. V'charifa sakine. He's a sharp knife. Supposed to say, apparently, he's a sharp guy, right? He's a sharp knife. So what happens? Asala kame, he came before Rava. Amar, so Rava said, I understand. Michti nishpar ha'etzim v'yatza l'chutz tinan. Do we have an explicit Mishnah? The Mishnah says, if the bone breaks and protrudes through the limb, mali nafal, mali isei. It makes no difference if the bone chips or not. Halacha is the same. If the bone breaks and breaks through the limb, there's a very simple halacha. If the majority of the limb is covered by flesh, right, then the halacha is the animal's kosher. If it's not, the animal's a trefa. The status of the bone is really absolutely and totally irrelevant for us. Okay, the answer is the question. Amar the Rabbeinu the Rava. So also, ultimately, we go by it. So Rabbeinu said to Rava, Mislakeit ma'u. Now, Rabbeinu said, now the Gemara is going to ask a couple of different questions. So now, we've established that halacha l'maisa, in order for the animal to avoid a trefa status, when there's a bone breakage, so there has to be a majority of flesh which covers the bone. Now we're going to ask about certain circumstances which occur if halacha l'maisa, the flesh itself, something happens to the flesh. Now watch this. Shamli Rabbeinu l'Rava. Mislakeit ma'u. Now, Rabbeinu said, Mislakeit Rashi says, is basar hanosra lachasos harov ve'ino yachad elakan ma'at ve'kan ma'at saveva etzem ve'im titzarfehu hare rov hakefo nixis. Well, let's listen to this case. What happens if you have the following situation? Halacha lemaisa, there are patches of flesh around the bone. Patches of flesh around the bone. The issue is, it's not a contiguous presence of flesh, but rather there are patches. Now, if you put all of the patches together, so what happens? If you put all of the patches together, halacha lemaisa, you have a majority of flesh which covers the bone. But again, there is no majority in one place. That's the case of mislakeit. Misroses mahu. We'll say misroses, Rashi says, over here, shaya basa merudad v'kalot v'chofes rova etzem. We'll say, what happens if the flesh is flattened? It's flattened. So flesh is normally has a thickness to it. This flesh is totally flattened along the limb. It covers the limb, but it's flattened. Mismases mahu. Rashi says again, mismases basra initially, like he said, it's decaying. The flesh, it's there, but it's decaying. What's the halacha in these cases? So mahu, so says the Gemara, hechi dami mismases. So the Gemara picks up on the last one. What's the case of where the flesh is decaying? Amravun reads Rav Yoshua, kol sharofe kodro. Any case where if you took the animal to the veterinarian, right, to the doctor would scrape away this flesh because it is decaying. That's the case of decay. Say, Ibailu, so we'll say, the Gemara doesn't answer these kashas, it leaves it here. Ibailu, nikav mahu. We'll say, what happens? Rashi says, nikav. Rashi says, osa basra achofer nekev katan belochisar. What's another interesting case? Let's say the flesh is pierced, so there's a hole, but ultimately what? Supposed to say there's a hole, which means there's an opening in the flesh, but it's like a flap. So there's no part of the flesh that is missing. No part of the flesh that's missing. It's all present. It's just like a flap that's open. That's nikev. Niklaf, what happens if it's peeled back? Mau. Nistak, if it's split. Mau. Nital shlish hatachton mahu. But say, what happens if, in this interesting case, the limb is covered, but the bottom third, so to speak, of the thickness of the flesh is missing. So the flesh itself is thinned out, so there's a bottom third of the flesh that's missing. What's the halacha there? So tashma, the amra ulo, amra biyochanan, or harehu kibaser. Right? So we'll say, so now watch this. Ula says, this is what we saw before. Ula said in Rabbi Yochanan, that or the hide has the status of baser, has the status of flesh. To which the Gemara says, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, tashma, first wide line, tashma, chada mehanach bai, dam Rabbi Yochanan, or hariu kibaser. Ama nital shlisha tachton, v'neshar or shnei shlishi omdin koshekin de kasher. So we'll say, listen to this. If you're going to say that halacha lemaisa, the hide has the status of flesh, therefore the hide is a thin layer. If the hide has the status of flesh, then certainly what? If some of the thickness of the flesh itself is missing, that should certainly still be okay. So the Gemara is at least answering that last one. Or Hari Kabazda Dilma. So the Gemara says, well, maybe not Dilma. Dekana mashcha didei, to which Rashi says again, Dilma hasam dekana mashcha didei, shehechsek ha'ar b'shalo kilomar, hasam lav b'nita labasa mitachtav, va'or omid ba'avir kamer, elu kigon shenishpar ha'etzim b'shipulo, shu'ar omid ba'asar, samach la'ar kuva, shen sham elu'ar va'or do. Maybe that's talking about a case where what? Where halacha lemaisa, the hide itself kind of grafted onto the bone. Maybe that's the case ultimately where we say that the hide itself is enough to count towards the covering of the limb. Amar Ravashi. So Ravashi says as follows. Ki avinon beirav papi, ibailon. When I was in the yeshiva of Rav Papi, so they asked the following question. Or the following question was asked of us. Nikdar kamin taba'as mahu. What happens if I say ultimately again if there's a hole in the flesh? Like a ring. Rashi says, Nikdar habasra b'sakin me'al ha-shever. If ultimately, again, the flesh is removed from on top of the area of the break, be'igul, in a circular fashion, kamin tabas, ultimately, again, like a ring, like literally a ring of flesh is removed from on top of the area of the breakage, v'rov hekeifa mechuso. But the majority, ultimately, again, is still covered. So the Gemara says, upashat na meha. And we answered it from the following. To Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Davar zeh sha'alti l'chachamim v'larofim. We asked this question of the chachamim, right? The rabbis and the doctors. V'amru. And they said, Misarto be'atzem u'ma'ala aruka. That ultimately, again, when there is an absence of flesh like that, that can be regenerated. How is it regenerated? So apparently, again, if you scrape the flesh with bone and cause it to bleed, that begins ultimately, again, a process of regeneration. But it only works if you scrape the remaining flesh with bone. Aval parzala, but if you were to scrape it ultimately with what? With metal or with iron. Mizraf zorif, Rashi says, osecharitzi mebasar machiv amake. So we'll say ultimately that could create infection. And with creating an infection, not only will halacha lemaisa, the flesh not regenerate, but it could kill the animal. Amra papa, v'hu dekana garma didei. Ultimately, if you look at Rashi, v'hu dekana garma didei, shana roim sha'etzem machzik bishalo, svivos hakedera, midbak ha'etzem labasar, v'simenas chalas alos orgo. That's only if we see about that in that area that the bone itself, or I should say the flesh, is attached to the bone in that particular area. Okay, I will say, bottom line, halacha lemaisa. So again, the statement of the Mishnah is true, which is when there is a break and the bone extends outside of the break, in order to ensure that the animal is not a trefa, the majority of the bone must be covered by flesh. It appears that we have a machlokes, ultimately again, does the hide combine or not? The Rambam paskins, Shulchan Aruch also paskins, like the ulas, a statement named Rabbi Yochanan that halacha lemaisa the hide combines with the flesh, with the basar, to form a majority around the limb. When it comes to gidin the sinews that are racking, that are soft now, and also this kashos, but will become hard at a later time. It appears, again, I don't know what the Rambam says, but it appears, at least from this sugya, that both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish agree that it does not have the status of basar. Therefore, you cannot go ahead and use it for part of your Karban Pesach. Part of your Karban Pesach, and apparently it would not count towards a covering of the broken bone as well. Good. Says the Mishnah. We'll say, here we go. Hashochen es habehemom v'ni'umatza ba'shalya. So we'll say, listen to this. Interesting case. Somebody shechts an animal, and they find a placenta inside of the animal. Placenta inside of the animal. So we'll say, nefesh hayofa tochlanu. If you want to eat it, you could eat it. Now we'll say, now interestingly enough, the Mishnah calls this person a nefesh hayofa. What's a nefesh hayofa? Rashi says, she'in daito katsa ba machmas miyus. You're a person who has a strong stomach, right? If you have a strong stomach, right, for this kind of stuff, and you want to eat the placenta, right? So geig is untahate. You could eat the placenta inside of the animal. Now we'll say, now the truth is, that's actually not a chiddush. Right, because again, when you shecht an animal, you could eat whatever you want inside of it, right? The placenta, the baby. So you're going to see that's not the chiddush case. However, this is something very interesting. But the placenta itself, does not go ahead and cannot contract tumas ochlin. Now, why is that? Because we will say, from a pure halachic perspective, the placenta is not considered to be a food item. Why? Because it is not normally consumed. Normal people do not eat the placenta. So because that it doesn't have the din, the status of ochel, if it doesn't have the status of ochel, it does not contract tumah. Furthermore, velo tumas nevelos. Now what's the case of tumas nevelos? If the animal dies, right, if the mother died, you opened it up and found the placenta inside. So the animal is a nevela. The animal is a nevela. But Allah l'maisa, the placenta inside of it doesn't have the status of nevela. We'll say it's the same reason why. Because ultimately it's not ochel. It's not food. It's not food. Therefore, again, it doesn't have the status of nevelas. Fine. So the Gemara says, Chishe vala. But however, again, the moment you decide that you're going to have placenta for dinner, right? And that you're going to eat it. So now you, remember, your desire or your willingness to eat it transforms it into ochel. In that moment, mitame tumas ochlin. It then goes ahead and contracts tumas ochlin. Avalo tumas nevelos. But it does not go ahead and contract tumas nevelos. Now we'll see why that is. That's because of a technicality. The only thing that contracts tumas nevelos is basar. Is basar. Right? So because even if you decide to eat the placenta, it does become ochel, therefore can contract tumas ochlin, but it does not become basar. Therefore, again, cannot contract tumas nevelos. Shalya, shiyata samikzas. And I will say, now here comes the more complicated case. Let's say you have a partial birth. So part of the placenta comes out of the animal. So we'll say, what's talacha? So shaya shiyata samikzasa, asura ba'achila. Ultimately, again, it becomes asur ba'achila. Now I will say, now what we're going to see ultimately is the entire thing becomes asur ba'achila. Simen, why is that? Because simen vlad v'isha, v'simen vlad v'behema. So I will say, the placenta represents a birth. Where there is a placenta, there is a fetus. Therefore, again, when the placenta comes out, even part of it, so we'll say, what are we concerned about? We are concerned that when the placenta comes out, either the majority of the fetus or the head of the fetus came out together with the placenta. Now remember again, once the head of the fetus or the majority of the body of the fetus comes out, that is considered to be a complete birth. Therefore again, if part of the placenta comes out, it becomes the entire placenta, becomes asur ba'achila. Now Rashi says over here, asura ba'achila, the afag avdalo nafak, ella porta, even though only part of it came out, v'lekka lememar kol michui havlat sham, shema ba'osa miktas yatsa rosh havlad, v'hari huki yalud. So we'll say once part of the placenta comes out, the entire placenta is aser. So the Gemara goes weiter. Mevakeres shepila shal shepila. We'll say if you have an animal that is giving birth to its firstborn animal, right? The animal is giving birth to its first child. So we'll say what's the halacha? She and miscarries. miscarries, shepila shalya, but all that, right, and what comes out is the placenta, yashli chena leklavim. Ultimately, again, you could go ahead and give that placenta to the dogs. I.e., it has no kiddusha. Now we'll discuss why that is. Ubi mukdashin, but if it's a sacrificial animal, tikaber. Then the placenta ultimately has to be buried because apparently it does contain some residual kiddusha, which we'll discuss. Vein kovrin osa parshas drachim, but you cannot go ahead and bury the placenta at the crossroads. Vein tolin osa biilan, nor may you go ahead and hang it from a tree. Why not? Mipnei darke emori. Because Rabbi say these are idolatrous practices. So we'll discuss these practices a bit more in depth in the Gemara. Good, Rabbi say come to the Gemara, let's analyze. Here we go. Now first of all, Rashi just points out, but Parshas Drachim, Makom Shadrachim Misparshim Lishnayim, V'derech HaMenachashim L'Kovrashim Shilotapiol. So apparently, again, it was an ancient Amorite practice that if your animal miscarries, you take the placenta, you take the miscarriage, you bury it by the crossroads, and apparently, again, that was an omen that the animal should not miscarry again. We don't go. So practices like that, Rabbi Osai, we do not engage in. They're a form of idolatry. Therefore, again, you can't, and apparently hanging it from the tree was the same idea. We'll discuss the tree in the Gemara. Therefore, you're not allowed to engage in these practices. What we call darkei emori, Rabbi Osai. So practices that we feel may be steeped in idolatry that you are not permitted to do. Says the Gemara, Menahani Mili. So we'll say, from where do we know this? The Tan Rabbanon, Kol Beima Toch. So the Gemara here says the following: Kol Komafreses Parsa Veshosah Shesa Prasos Malas Gera Babehima Oso Tachelu Tochelu. So from there we learn Kol Beima Tochelu. Anything that is in the animal, right? Babehima Oso Tachelu. So we'll say literally, and Babehima means what? That which is within the animal. So from here we see that if you shack the animal, you open it up and you find the placenta inside of it, you are permitted to eat it. So kol ba'behemah tochelu, the rabbi says hashalya. So therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, if you shack the animal, you open it up and you find the placenta inside, you are permitted to go ahead and eat the animal. So the Gemara says, Yachalafilu yatsa mitzasa. You might have thought this is true, even if part of the placenta comes out. Tamud lomar osa, osa velo shil yasa. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says, osa, the animal you could eat, but not the partially exited placenta. Nichdi, I don't understand. In shalya below vlad, velama likra. So again, I will say, there's a simpler reason. We assume that there is no placenta without a fetus. Wherever there's a placenta, there's a fetus there. Once there's a fetus, then of course you can't go ahead and eat the placenta or eat the fetus right with the shechita of the mother. That's obvious. It's yatza chutz lemechitza, so it's been born. It requires its own shechita, to which the Gemara says, you're right. Kras machta ba'alma. Enach inami, Rabbi Osai, for a partially birthed placenta, that, I don't need the pasuk. That's obvious that does not become permitted with the shechita of the mother, and ultimately, again, does not become permitted consumption with the mother. What the pasuk does teach me is that halacha lemaisa babhema teaches me that when you shecht an animal, anything found in that animal is ultimately permitted for shechita as well. Ve'ena matame. But I will say, interestingly enough, even if you want, so the halacha is that the placenta does not contract tumas ochlim. Why not? Because it's not ochel. Normal people do not eat it. So because normal people do not eat it, it doesn't have the status of a food item, therefore it doesn't contract to masochlin. By Rabbi Yitzchak, bar Nafcha, or chamar, sheshalku mahu. So we'll say, if you went ahead and you take the hide of a donkey, and you cook it excessively, so we'll say, what's its status? Now we'll say, Rashi points out, the hide of a donkey is kasha umos. It is very tough and disgusting. So we'll say, well, what happens if you cook it a lot? Right? Can you go ahead and transform it into a food item or not? So we'll say, Mao, so lemai. So for what? Ilo tumas ochlin tanina. If you want to say, does it become food to contract tumor? We already learned this. Top of ayin zayin amud beis. Ilo tumas nevelos tanina. And if you want to say, if you're asking, does it contract tumas nevelos? We also learn that. So tumas ochlin. So we'll say, where did we learn it already? Here we go. Tumas ochlin. So in terms of Tumas Ochlin, we learned the Sanya, Ha'ar, Vashalya, Imitam, and Tumas Ochlin, a hide, as well as a placenta, do not contract Tumas Ochlin. Why not? Because again, normal people don't eat hides. normal people don't eat placentas. So because of that, they don't have the status of ochel, therefore do not contract tumas ochlin. So the Gemara says, or shalku, what happens if you cook the hide, v'hashalya shechishevala, but you decide you're going to eat the placenta, mitamin tumas ochlin. So we'll say they do become tamei tumas ochlin. So we'll say it's a very simple idea. In other words, if you take the hide and you render it fit for consumption, it becomes ochel. You decide you're going to eat the placenta, ultimately again, it becomes ochel. And therefore it contracts tumas ochlin. Tumas nevela. So we'll say, so if you're asking me about the donkey hide, so it seems to be kind of like obvious. Apparently, if you cook it a lot, saloch lamaisa, render it fit for consumption, it becomes a food item, therefore contracts tumas ochlin. Tumas nevela is not mitanina. And also when it comes to tumas nevela, we also learned that what do we learn about tumas nevela? Benivla sa. So we'll say in the Torah speaking about a nevela, right? Tumas nevela, it says benivla sa, in its corpse, right? Hanogea benivla sa. What do we deduction from that? Velo ba'ar, velo ba'atzamas, velo begidin, velo ba'karnai, velo ba'tafayin. We'll say that teaches us that it is only the flesh of the animal which conveys tumas nevela, not the hide, not the bones, not the sinews, not the horns, and not the hoofs. Only the flesh of the animal. So it is obvious, therefore, that donkey hide does not convey tumas nevela. V'amar Rav Arachan alo nitzucha ela sha'asan tzike kedera. They will say, so it's possible that, what are we talking about over here? Look at Rashi. Ela she'at lo nitzucha le'me'utinhu da'ha vadai lav basar ninu. So it says, it's obvious that the hide is not basar. Where does the question come up? She'na'asa tzike kedera. Bishlan harbeim tavlin. Imamish cooked the hide with a lot of spices. Right? I guess if you add enough condiments to anything, right? Put ketchup on anything, right? And it works. To which the Gemara says, no. Liolam tumas ochlin. In reality, the question about the donkey hide is a question vis-a-vis tumas ochlin. V'shayni or chamer demoy. So we'll say, the reason the Gemara is asking by or chamer, by donkey hide, is apparently, again, we accept the fact that although under normal circumstances, the hide of an animal is not ochel, and therefore, again, does not contract tumas ochlin. Right? And tumas nevela as well. Apparently, when it comes to most hides, there are ways that you can make it edible. The Shai the Gemara is asking is apparently in the world of hides, donkey hide is considered to be mamish mos, absolutely repulsive. So the Gemara is asking is there even the possibility, right, with the introduction, I guess, of ingredients or condiments to go ahead and make donkey hide edible? Or is it just simply so disgusting that there is simply no way to go ahead and make it edible? That's the shayla the Gemara was asking, and I both say the Gemara doesn't answer it. So again, by other hides, apparently, again, we accept the premise that you can make it edible by introducing a variety of different ingredients. Donkey hide, apparently we're not sure. Says the Gemara. Shalya sheyatasa. So obviously you understand, for us, by the way, the ramifications of that shayla are not really in terms of consumption. Right? You're not really going to be eating donkey hide. Rather, again, the real ramification is of what? Of tumas ochlin. Right? Can you render it into an ochel so as to allow it to contract tumas? The Gemara doesn't answer that. Shal yoshiyata. So we'll say, next case in the Mishnah was a fetus which partially exited the body. So we'll remember again, what did the Mishnah say? If the fetus partially exits the body, it is asr ba'achila. Now again, the logic behind that is, because halacha lemaisa, we assume that where there is a placenta, there is what? There's a fetus. There, right? There's a baby there. For example, there's a birth. Once there's a birth, then ultimately, again, this placenta becomes part of the birth, no longer part of the mother, and therefore halacha lemaisa, unfit for consumption. So says the Gemara, Amar Belozer, lo shanu ela she'ini mavlad, aval yesh imavlad. So say, now we come to a very interesting discussion. So says Rebbe Lozer, look at Rashi. Ela she'ini mavlad ba'osa shebifnim. Aval yishi mavlad v'roen anurosho v'rubo lifnim ein choshishin. Rashi says, shema od hayavlad acher imze v'yatsa v'shal yezeh shelo haya v'zev shebifnim kvar yatsa shel yasa mekomakum shal yezu asura t'shema shavad acher. So listen to this. Rebbe Lazar says, when do we say that the placenta becomes aser? Only when there is no baby left inside the mother. But if there is a baby left inside the mother, then what? We assume the placenta that came out belongs to the baby inside, and therefore again, and therefore again, there is no additional birth in the placenta. So Rabbi says, here's an interesting case. Rabbi Elazar is saying is like this. When do we say ultimately again that the placenta is aser? So I should say, when does the Mishnah's case apply? Ultimately again, she'ein ima vlad, where there is no baby inside of the mother. When there's no more baby inside the mother, we assume that when the placenta came out, the baby came out with it. But if the baby came out, the placenta came out, and there is still a baby inside of the mother, then we assume that placenta belongs to who? The baby inside the mother. As opposed to saying what, Rabbi? So you're saying, of course. As opposed to saying what? As opposed to saying maybe there was another baby in the placenta, and there was some kind of birth in there. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Bein ein ima vlad, bein yesh ima vlad, choshishin levlad acher. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. It doesn't matter whether there is a baby still inside the mother, not inside the mother. Where there is a placenta that comes out, we are choshish that what? There was a baby inside of that placenta. Rabbi, you'll say to yourself, well, what's the big deal? Just check. Just check. Rabbi said, there is a further concern that maybe, again, the baby disintegrated. Now, even if the baby disintegrated, again, it can still have the halachic status of a birth. So therefore, again, fundamental machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, Ini, is this so? V'amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu, l'chumra amar Rabbi Elazar. But yet, again, the Gemara says, but yet we learned that what Rabbi Yirmiyahu said, that Rabbi Elazar's position, ultimately, again, was said l'chumra. Right? That Rabbi Elazar was more machmir than Rabbi Yochanan, and yet, in this case, it appears that Rabbi Elazar is being more maker than Rabbi Yochanan. Ala I itmar hachi itmar. Rather, if you're going to frame the machlokes, here is how you have to frame it. Am Rabbi Elazar said, Lo shanu ela she'ina kshura bivlad. Shabbosai, we only learned this case where what? Where ultimately again, the placenta was not tethered to the baby. Look at Rashi. Lo shanu da'asura ba'achila. Dimashma filu yeshima vlad bifnim. When do we say that the placenta is usher for consumption? Ela she'ina kshura bivlad. Rashi says, da'hasam ikala meymar. So I say, when do we say that the placenta is aser? That's only if the placenta is not tethered to the baby inside. If the placenta is not tethered to the baby that is inside the mother, then what? That's when we are choshish that there was another baby in that placenta, and therefore it's going to be aser. Aval kshura bivlad. But if the placenta that comes out is tethered to the baby inside, then what Rabbi Osai? That placenta belongs to that baby, and therefore again, we are not choshesh that there was a birth inside of that placenta. But if ultimately again, the placenta was tethered to the baby inside, in choshesh in the vlad acher, we assume that placenta belongs to that baby in utero, and therefore again, what? And therefore halacha lemaisa, we are not choshesh for another vlad. But Rabbi Yochanan says no. He says Rabbi Yochanan Amar Anu Ein Lanu Ela Shalya Blavlad. For us, it will say we have what? We have no plus. We don't believe in any placenta without a baby. Right? So it will say Rabbi Yochanan holds where there is a placenta, there is a baby inside of it. And even though there's a baby inside of the mother now, we assume there was another baby inside the placenta and it disintegrated. Aval Yeshima Vlad. But ultimately, again, if we know that there is a vlad inside of the placenta, bein kshura bevlad, bein in kshura bevlad, in choshishin levlad acher. So say, but ultimately, again, if there is a vlad, vayish ima vlad, we are not choshish for the presence of another child. And ultimately, again, Rabbi say, this makes sense because in this model, Rabbi Elazar ultimately, again, is more machmir than Rabbi Yochanan. So in second version, ultimately, again, we have Rabbi Elazar saying, we'll focus Rabbi Elazar's shita for now, that ultimately, again, when do we say that the placenta is aser? That's only if the placenta is not tethered to the baby which is still in utero. That's when we have to be choshish that maybe there was another baby inside that placenta. But if the placenta that comes out is tethered to the baby in utero, then what? We assume that placenta belongs to that baby. There was no second vlad, and therefore there is no baby inside of that placenta which came out. So Rabbi say, ultimately again, So we have a braisa which supports Rebbe Lazar. Hamapeles min behema. I will say this is talking about a case of a woman. If a woman miscarries and her miscarriage does not look like a human form, but rather again it looks like an animal, chayav of. So we'll say, unfortunately, again, that which she is miscarrying does not have human form, but rather again looks like a behema, chayar an of. Vishalya iman, and the placenta is with them. Bizman shekshura bahen. Ultimately, again, if the placenta is tethered to the fetus, in choshishin levlad acher, we need not be concerned that what? There's another vlad inside of the placenta. Eina kshura bahen. But ultimately, again, if the placenta is not tethered to the fetus, then what? Harini matil ala chomer shnei vlados. Then Abba say, ultimately, again, we would be machmir on the woman, and we would say that she has the chumra, ultimately, again, of having two births. Why two births? One for a baby inside of the placenta, and one for the other fetus that she has. Shani Omer, Shema Nimuach Shafir Shalshulya. Maybe ultimately, Shema Nimucha Shalyasa Shalshapir. Because they have to be concerned that maybe what? Maybe there is a dissolved fetus inside of the placenta, and maybe the placenta of the other fetus dissolved. So you see over here that Halacha L'Maisa, this price supports the position of Rebbe Lazar, namely that Halacha L'Maisa will say that what? When the fetus is tethered, when the fetus is literally tethered, or when the placenta is tethered to the fetus, so we assume that placenta belongs to that fetus, and there is no, even though that fetus is outside of the placenta, and there is no other fetus inside of the placenta. When, however, halacha l'maisa, the fetus and the placenta are detached from one another, that's when we have to be choshesh that what? Maybe there, in fact, is another fetus inside, there was another fetus inside of that placenta. You can't see it. Maybe it dissolved. All right, so we have to stop over here for today. We'll pick up in Meretz Hashem at the two dots tomorrow.